news to get to, so we're going to get going here. On the local edition, news and information to keep you connected to Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to be checking in with Wayne County. The Salvation Army Lador Lodge in Waymart is holding an open house in salute to veterans. We'll find out more about that coming up. We'll also check in with Liberty Rotary Club. But first, agriculture represents one of the largest economic sectors in our region, and there's an important bill before Congress that will benefit local farmers and workers, but you've probably never heard of it. It's the Farm Workplace Modernization Act. U.S. House of Representatives passed the bill that would create a way for undocumented farm workers to work legally, and it would expand the H-2A program to allow workers to stay on for a year-round basis. Radio Catskills' Tim Bruno spoke with Lauren Williams, New York Farm Bureau's Associate Director of National Affairs, about the bill and its chances of passing the Senate.
The Farm Workforce Modernization Act, it is an agricultural immigration reform bill that's being considered. It's passed in the House, and then the Senate is working on their own version of the legislation. And what it really aims to do is address agricultural immigration, addressing, you know, workers, farm workers who are currently here in the U.S. who may not have status, as well as adjusting the seasonal agricultural visa program, or known as the H-2A program, to make it a little bit more workable for farmers and extend it to year-round employees.
And what's the current status? The U.S. House of Representatives passed the bill, and is it awaiting Senate action?
Yep. So it's passed in the House, and we're waiting for the Senate to the Senate is going to make some changes to it, so we're just waiting for them to kind of release the legislation at this point.
The August recess is looming for Congress. Do you think that it will get taken up before the recess?
We don't expect it to be taken up before the recess. You know, we're hoping to see the language soon and, you know, hoping when Congress and the Senate comes back into session after August that they're able to address it, you know, in September, October, or, you know, even in November or December, at least before the year end.
This bill is critical for the agricultural world. They're struggling for workers. What would happen if this bill isn't passed?
Yes, you know, just like other industries, agriculture, you know, continues to face, you know, labor shortages, you know, access to reliable labor. So, you know, I think we keep seeing the same cycle where, you know, farmers aren't able to find enough a good, reliable workforce, and it just becomes, you know, even harder for our farmers to, you know, produce crops, get cows milked, and do, you know, everyday tasks just because they can't find employees.
And there are some folks that are opposing this. There are over 300 groups in the country that are supported, including the New York Farm Bureau, other agricultural associations, labor organizations, immigrant rights advocates, and business interest groups. But some argue that it would lead to higher wages for farm workers and make farm employees legally vulnerable. What's your response to that?
Yeah, and, you know, starting off, it's not a perfect legislation, you know, the agricultural side doesn't get everything they want, and, you know, probably the farm worker side doesn't get everything they want as well. You know, we view it as a compromise piece of legislation. You know, and there are some concerns about how, you know, wages would be calculated based on job duties for workers. But again, if you can't find workers, you know, wages don't really matter, because if you can't find anybody to work, you know, that's been the bigger issue that our folks have flagged. And, you know, being in a state like New York, we already have lots of, you know, protections for our farm workers through state and federal regulations. So we have a little less concern about what's called the MSPA protections. And this is provides a right for a seasonal H-2A employer to, you know, file a lawsuit if they believe that there are, you know, workplace violations. But the legislation would allow for, you know, some type of mediation with the farm worker, with the farmer and the farm worker. So again, it it is a little concerning, but again, I think, you know, that there are steps in the legislation that would help, you know, our farmers work through that process, you know, if it were ever to come about.
This is a matter that's been unresolved for many years. In New York, what's the status of the agricultural workforce in the state? And is it on the healthier side? Is it need help? How critical is it for New York specifically, and even in the Mid-Hudson Valley region where we are?
Yep. So, you know, farmers continue to struggle to recruit, you know, enough labor to get the job done on farms. We've seen increased reliance, especially in the Hudson Valley, where there's a lot of specialty crops, you know, apples. They're able to utilize the H-2A visa program to bring workers in. But again, that program is not without its, you know, shortfalls. You know, it can be very expensive to bring workers in from other countries. And sometimes the paperwork to get those, you know, visas approved can be very lengthy as well. So it's definitely a challenging environment for, you know, farmers right now with, you know, any type of labor recruitment.
And given the state of the economy and inflation, do you think that this legislation is the best chance to help get a handle on rising food prices?
We do. And, you know, I think as folks continue to not have labor, or they have to pay more wages, or just kind of struggle to get harvest all their crops, that can really drive food prices up. But I think it's also important for the domestic food supply. If we don't have labor here to harvest our crops, that food has to come in from other countries or other places, you know, in the world. So both addressing, you know, domestic food prices is important, but also just our general food security and food supply is important as well.
How can listeners learn more or become involved in helping get the legislation through?
Yep. So I would say, you know, especially, you know, farmers, make sure you're engaging with organizations like Farm Bureau, but also any commodity groups as we send information out. But, you know, also reach out to our state senators, Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand, to make sure that they know that addressing agriculture immigration is really important, and that, you know, a common sense compromise is needed to, you know, help, you know, move the agricultural economy forward.
We've been speaking with Lauren Williams, Associate Director of National Affairs at the New York Farm Bureau, about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, H.R. 1603. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is the Local Edition, news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. What we do on a Thursday, so we check in with Wayne County area, the Pennsylvania side of our listening area. And the Salvation Army's Lador Lodge is holding its annual open house and salute to veterans, happening next week, Wednesday, August 3rd, going from 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, right there on South Street in Waymart. The open house will offer motorcycle show and flea market and much more. Here to tell us about what's happening on that day, it's Mark Scott, Operations Manager for Salvation Army Lador Lodge in Waymart, PA. Welcome to the program, Scott. Sorry, try that one more time. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Welcome, and thank you. I appreciate being invited.
Am I saying the name of the store right? Is this the Lador Lodge?
Yep, it's Lador Lodge Camp Retreat and Conference Center. It's a mouthful if you say it all, so Lador Lodge is fine.
Just explain to me what this is. Is it a Salvation Army store, or is it something else?
No. So it's a Salvation Army facility in Waymart that is here for retreats, different church groups, business groups, nonprofits come and use us for getaways. We have rooms for them in our own dining room and that sort of thing. So we do a lot of things. During the summer, it's mostly older adults, Monday through Friday. We have a special ministry for them. There's even scholarships available. And they come from Monday through Friday, and we take care of all the meals and provide entertainment and activities and things for folks to do. So, yeah, it's a hopping place and a great place to be.
Great. And so how did this aspect of what you do get started, this Veterans Open? How long have you been doing Veterans Open House, and how did it get started?
Well, it's been going at least 20 years. There's a little fogginess around how it started, but they were doing an open house before, and then someone said, hey, we ought to do something to honor the veterans. And so that's probably 20 years or a little better ago that started doing that, so that we created it, called it a Veterans Open House. And that week we invite veterans and their families to come and stay. And then we do this open house on Wednesday. It's open to the community. We bring up folks come up from the veterans home sometimes in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. They bring guys up in the vans, the buses, and so they can spend the day. It just became a way to celebrate sort of America in the summer, and what better way than recognizing our veterans?
Yeah. I mean, because we can celebrate at any time, but you know, there's people that need help, and there's people that need to not be forgotten. You know, that's one of the key things, especially for a community of the veterans and the people that have already done so much to serve us.
That's right. Yeah, we start the day off right at 10 o'clock with an honor ceremony in our chapel for the veterans. And that's a lovely, it's a short ceremony, but it's a lovely thing to pay respect and tribute to the men and women who have served.
Well, that's great. And do you have a chaplain on hand for that?
Yes, we do. We actually have Salvation Army Officer Major Lenny Boynton and Major Karen Boynton are our administrators. But we also have chaplains during that week special from the Salvation Army who have services each morning and each night for the folks staying at our lodge. And they'll be part of that ceremony as well on Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And, you were talking about some of the things you got going on. You got certain on-site activities, and that includes people bringing motorcycles by?
Sure. We're having a classic car and motorcycle show, and that's become very successful over the past 15 to 18 years we had, before COVID hit, you know how COVID changed things. Before that, we had over 100 cars and motorcycles that come and they compete for all the different categories that they have for that. So that's a great draw for people. And it's just fun to walk around and look at all the interesting cars and motorcycles that show up.
Right. And then what do you have in terms of entertainment there?
So, well, we have, there's a DJ that'll be on site that day. And then there's different activities that the community can come and get involved. We have a free lunch. We just recommend a donation, but it's a free classic summer lunch with like hot dogs and beans and coleslaw, that kind of thing. And then we have our wagon. We have a wagon that runs kind of continuous down to our pontoon boat on the lake, and people can go and have a short pontoon ride on the lake as they get a wagon ride down and back. And then we have activities in the behind. We have I call it it's the grand patio is what we call it. Has miniature golf, handicap accessible as well, miniature golf, shuffleboard, bocce. We even started this year a little pickleball. And then there'll be some folks coming to do a small flea market as well during that day. So there's lots of things for folks to do, you know, weather permitting, hopefully, and we're praying that the weather will be really good that day.
Yeah, not too wet, not too hot. We'll see what happens. I don't want to look that far into the forecast future, because who knows what Wednesday is going to be. But here's hoping for that. So it sounds like you want the general public to come out as well as veterans.
Absolutely. We want veterans to come, but it's also open to the general public. We've had some years, we've had 500 people here for the lunch and the day of activities.
Wow.
So, we're looking for a fairly large turnout. The only thing we ask people to do is if they could let us know that they're coming and going to partake of the lunch so we can make sure we have enough food prepared. So that's really appreciated. And I can give you a phone number if that would be good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how do folks register for the lunch?
Yep, they just call up 570-488-6129. And that's at our main lodge. It's 488-6129. And they just say, hey, we're coming with five of us. We're going to come to your Veterans Open House, and we'd like to partake of lunch. And we'll just add them to the count.
Okay, that number again is 570-488-6129. And I see ledore.org. Is that your website?
That is.
Ledore.org. Anything else you want to let folks know before we get going, Mark?
It's it's a fun day. We hope to see you here. If you're not, you're missing out on a great activity. So I appreciate you bringing me on here and giving us a chance to talk about it. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and best of luck on Wednesday. This sounds like a great event.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
This is a local edition where news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. Stay tuned. We've got another live guest coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Name Shelly Bronstein.
Hi, Shelly. Do you listen to WJFF Radio Catskill?
Of course. Of course. It's the thinking person's radio station.
That's quite a compliment. What shows do you like?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm addicted to Morning Edition and All Things Considered and a host of others. They're very provocative, informative, and objective, which is not something you find all that frequently. Public radio is one of the great things about the United States. And, you know, having JFF is certainly one of the things that makes it easier to leave New York City.
Radio Catskill's Summer Fun Drive is here. Don't wait. Donate. Help us end this fun drive as soon as possible. Give now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
I'm Michelle Martin, and I am the weekend host of All Things Considered. The weekend is different. It seems like the pace is different. So we try to think about what are the big stories of the week that may need another look or a bit more of a look on the weekend. How can we add perhaps some depth or some context, maybe fill in some blanks that might have gotten missed. And we also try to look ahead and try to give people a sense of what's coming that they may want to think about. I think some of the best things about producing a weekend program are, I think we give ourselves more permission to kind of curate. Sometimes we'll just decide that a story just needs a deeper look, and we'll just take the time to do that. Listener support is what allows us to have the independence to pursue the news, the facts, and the truth wherever it may be. I'm Michelle Martin. Here's how you can donate to this public radio station, and thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org or call 845-482-4141.
That's 845-482-4141, 845-482-4141. And you could make your donation that way or go to WJFFradio.org. I'm Jason. This is a local edition, but it is our summer fun drive, so we're stopping to ask for your help and your support right now. And John Gordon's here, too.
I'm here. I'm ready, and I'm ready to answer the phones and take some pledges. So 845-482-4141 and a one-time pledge or a sound supporter, which is $10 a month or more. For at least a year. So there's lots of ways to do it. You can also go online, of course, at WJFFradio.org and just hit the pledge button and you'll be all set.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. When we get resituated here, like, because Ramble Tamble is a good 2 hour long show. And we're going to be done with this show in just a little while. And at 7 o'clock, we'll get started with Ramble Tamble. You know, we'll be keeping an eye on the online donations. I'll be looking there. You can make a donation at WJFFradio.org. Click donate now at the page. That takes you could find any show if you type Ramble in the search right there. You know, it'll take you to the Ramble Tamble fundraising page. John, you know, we've got a big challenge for your show. I think maybe we should let people know about it now, so that we can start getting ready here,
yeah,
right?
We have a pretty good challenge. $650.
$650. That's it. That's what we need to raise during Ramble Tamble. You can start now if you want to help us out. 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. John, my brain's been turned to mush by the fund drive. What's twice 650? That's 1,300, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's just short of what we need to raise for our $3,000 goal. We're 1,440 short of our $3,000 goal. So if we can make this challenge, that'll be $1,300. If we could just get a little past that, that will do it for our goal of the day. It's actually 1,425, I think. I got to write a couple of these donations down.
We also got a pledge already now. So.
Okay, great.
You know.
Great. So it's less than that already. So we're already on our way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into our next interview. But as we do, remember that number. Use it. Call it. Let us know that you're supporting public radio and help us with this big challenge for Ramble Tamble.
845-482-4141. Y'all know it by heart.
There you go. Or go to WJFFradio.org. This is the local edition. There you go. With the theme music, you know it's official. It's a local edition, and we're keeping you connected to the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. And this next interview is not live on the phone, but it was live earlier today. And we're talking about the Liberty Rotary Club. It's hosting an evening of dance, but not just any old evening of dance. No, this is a dance that benefits the Special Olympics. Radio Catskills' Patricio Rabayo spoke to Terry Grafmuller, president of the Liberty Rotary Club, earlier today about the dance and all the things that Liberty Rotary Club are working on. And Patricio starts off by asking Terry, where exactly, by the way, is this dance happening?
It's happening at the Loch Sheldrake Fireman's Park, right off of Route 52 in Loch Sheldrake.
Right, and tickets are $20. What does the ticket to the dance give you?
It gives you, of course, access to the DJ that'll be Justice from Prestige Entertainment that'll be there from 6 to 9, and also a burger, a hot dog, some chips, and some soft drinks. And we kind of decided to make this a support the Special Olympics and also an inclusion event. You know, we opened it up to the public, and we did get an awful lot of participation signups from the agencies here in Sullivan County, New Hope Community and the Arc of Greater Hudson Valley. So we've got, you know, quite a few people, probably over 100 coming tonight or tomorrow night.
Can you expand on that a little bit? What actually makes this dance inclusive?
Well, an inclusion event, yeah, is having people who don't have disabilities engage with people that do to become more familiar and more comfortable in it. You know, inclusion is the, you know, one of the many buzzwords in trying to bring people in more into public eye, public life. So this is the way to do it.
Why the Special Olympics? Is this a organization you have supported in the past?
We have donated before, based on requests, usually from some of the agencies that are doing their own fundraising for it. But as we look at the Special Olympics, there's an event for almost anyone of any disability. So I had worked at the Arc of Sullivan, which is now the Arc of Greater Hudson Valley, for 25 years, and many of our participants compete. Because you have anything from, you know, heavy weightlifting to bocce ball. I mean, so there's a wide range of sports that are included in Special Olympics, allowing people with disabilities to participate. So that's we decided that it would be better to donate to the Special Olympics than try to donate a few dollars to each agency in the county, because it wouldn't make much difference for their bottom line, but it would certainly make a difference in Special Olympics, which they all participate in.
Right, right. And that starts tomorrow, Friday, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If folks are interested in attending this event, where can they go to get more information, buy a ticket? What can they do?
They can go on the Liberty New York Rotary's webpage or on Facebook on the Liberty New York Rotary. And also Joe Abraham from the Sullivan County Democrat has a link to the flyer for the dance, and he can be contacted, or people can actually show up tomorrow night. We're not going to turn anyone away if they meet us at the door.
Right, and that's happening at the Loch Sheldrake Fireman's Park on State 52 in Loch Sheldrake. That Liberty Rotary is always busy. I follow you guys on social media. Things are happening. Actually, I believe it was yesterday, you guys visited our new studios in Liberty. What did you think?
Beautiful. What a nice job they're doing renovating that building for a studio. And we had some good conversations and a good presentation, and we're hopefully going to start using WJFF to promote all of our events as we come up, just to get the word out to the public. So it's, I'm glad to see that they moved over here from Jeff into Liberty where we are.
Well, we look forward to strengthening that partnership with not only Liberty Rotary Club, but other organizations in town as we embark this new era of public radio. What else is keeping you guys busy this summer?
Well, we have participants of our in our club that are very active in every run or walk fundraiser that's going on within the county. There's one coming up soon, the Monster Run, to raise money in Monticello for the Veterans Coalition. And we have our previous president, Gary Lee Silverman, that always runs these events and rounds up people to run and donate with him. And so the Liberty Rotary Club is a large contributor to the event. It'll be held over at the casino, the new casino. We also have a disaster relief committee who's constantly raising money. They've done big projects in Puerto Rico and in Haiti as far as clean water filtration systems, but we had a couple of big fund drives to raise money for Ukraine. And that's that never ends, the disaster relief. They're working right now to provide aid for Puerto Rico with solar lights and water filtration, and they're planning on making a trip, a few of our members over there, to help in September. We have one of our members, Barbie Newman, is being honored by the Boys and Girls Club, so we always contribute to the Boys and Girls Club, so we'll be attending that event on October 1st. To see Barbie being honored. We have a raffle going on right now. It's our summer raffle. It's $500 first prize, $250 second, and $100 third, and that's $5 a ticket or 3 for $10. And usually we're out on weekends, either at the Trading Post or a couple of those stores around town to sell the raffle tickets. But otherwise, any Rotarian out of the pretty much 41 of us have tickets if anyone wants to purchase. And we're just starting the kickoff of our annual coat drive, which is really a great event where we collect coats and hold the day where we have people from town come and get them. And it's an amazing event because it's like people, some of the children are like they're in a department store. They find the one they love, they take a winter coat. You know, we're expanding that this year to more clothing items besides coats. And the big event we have every year coming up is the Dave Thompson Spirit Beer and Wine fundraiser for scholarships, because we just gave out a little over $10,000 in scholarships to Liberty and BOCES students, Liberty High School and BOCES students. So we have a fundraiser every year for that. We also do deliver single bite meals on Thursdays in the Liberty area to help out single bite. So we're trying to stay busy. Push as possible.
Right. And when you guys are busy, that means you guys are out there helping people. Like I said, whether it's here locally, with a single bite, helping folks here in our county get the food that they desperately need, or folks are heading out to places like Puerto Rico and helping the folks of that island, get the relief that they do need. Terry, before we go, is there anything else I have not touched on? Do you want our listeners to know about?
Well, we are always looking for membership. If you go to Liberty New York Rotary, you'll see a spot not only that you can apply, but you can just come to one of our meetings. We meet every Wednesday. In the summer, we meet at Hanafy Park at 6 o'clock. Our meetings start, and we have a barbecue. You can just drop by and tell us you want to see what we do. Or in the rest of the year, after in September, we move back into the Yasu Cafe, and we have our meetings there, same time, 6 o'clock every Wednesday night. So we welcome anyone who wants to drop in one of our meetings and see what we do, and hopefully that'll encourage someone to see if they want to become a member.
Definitely. We were talking to Terry Grafmuller, president of the Liberty Rotary Club. They have a benefit dance coming up tomorrow at the Lot Sheldrake Firehouse. This is all happening tomorrow, Friday, between 6 and 9. So get your tickets if you want to benefit the Special Olympics, meet some of the Liberty Rotarians, and see what they are all about. Terry, thank you so much for talking to me. And I look forward to, as I said, building this partnership with the Liberty Rotary Club, supporting each other in our own efforts in helping the community.
I look very forward to working with you guys. I love what you do, and I'm quite impressed with the visit yesterday as well. So.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Roballo.
And thank you. And thank you, Patricio, for that story. And thank you for listening. And thanks to the Liberty Rotary for coming out and visiting us yesterday and checking the new place out and all those kind words. And thank you for listening to the Local Edition. That's going to do it for this edition of the Local Edition. Patricio will be in tomorrow hosting the Local Edition once again on a Friday. I will be in Honesdale tomorrow for a big Honesdale day. So between noon to 5:30 or so,
yep,
we're gonna be in Honesdale asking for donations there. Of course, we're going to be asking for donations here tonight.